All right, everyone, say good morning. So today's daf, thank you. Today's daf is daf sana. The shiur today is sponsored by Yecheskel and Vicky Kane in memory of Vicky's parents, Nati Solomon, Necha Bas Feivel, and Meir Solomon, Meir Ben Avigdor. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, their neshamas will have an aliyah. Shkoach, and thank you. All right. So we'll say so. Today's daf is daf samach. So we are picking up last line of Nun Tesam Beizim Hayom Akira. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if the child already recognized the mother and will only nurse from the mother, so even in the event that the couple divorces, we force the ex-wife to go ahead, which is the mother child, to nurse the child. But interestingly enough, the Mishnah said that the father, her ex-husband, has to compensate her for her services. So says the Gemara, top of Samech, Ad Kama, how long, actually, says, Kama Chadoshim Islam Meimar, Sheodea Lahakira, Milineik Miisha Acheres, how long do we say that it normally takes a person, a child, to go out and recognize his mother? Samarav, Amarav Yermia Bar Abba, Amarav, Shloshe Chadoshim. Rav, 3 months. That's how long it takes for a child ultimately to recognize its mother. Shmuel Amar Shloshim Yom. Shmuel says 30 days. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chamishim Yom. Rabbi Yitzchak says Rabbi Yochanan 50 days. Amar Rav Simi Bar Abaye Halacha Rabbi Yitzchak. Shem Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan. The Halacha follows Rabbi Yitzchak saying Rabbi Yochanan, namely that it takes 50 days for a child to develop a recognition of its mother. Bishlam Rav Rabbi Yochanan. So I understand Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, because once again, remember, Rav is the one who said 3 months, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said 50 days. Again, that's a significant amount of time, and obviously children develop in different stages. So some children may take 50 days, some children may take 3 months. But Shmuel, who says 30 days, is it possible that a child would develop a recognition of its parent in such a short amount of time? So ki asr Rami Bar Yecheskel Amar. So what's the Rami Bar Yecheskel came along? He said the following. He said, "Lo titzis sinhu lahani klali dekal Yehuda achi mishmei de Shmuel. Don't listen to anything my brother Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel." Why? Because again, the Gemara says essentially he's saying because he was wrong. He misquoted things. Hachem Shmuel. This is what Shmuel really meant to say. Kol azman shemakira. Any time the child recognized the mother. Meanwhile, so Shmuel's klal was, there's no point in attaching a time frame to this, because different children develop in different ways. So some children may recognize the parent earlier on, some may recognize the parent later on. So there's no point in having machlokes about 3 months, 50 days, 30 days. Rather, Shmuel says, as soon as the child recognizes the parent, at that point in time, the child will generally not nurse from anyone else, and therefore, again, the mother would have to continue to nurse the child, even in the event of divorce. Mara tells a story. There was a particular woman who came before Shmuel. Now, in this case, Rashi says, Grusha, she was a divorcee. She didn't want a nurse. So what happened? So Amar Lev, the Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Zil Batka. So Shmuel said to Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, go see if her child recognizes her yet. So what did Rav Dimi Bar Yosef do? Ozel, Osfa Bedari Dinashi, Vishakli Libra, Vikamahadar Le Alayu. So what did Rav Dimi do? He lined up a group of women, like a lineup, and he passed the child from one woman to the next, actually, he put them on their laps, and he wanted to see if the child would recognize, would exhibit any kind of recognition for any of these women. Kimata Ligaba, when the child was put on his mother's lap, Hava Kamasvi La'apa, he was staring at her face, meaning he recognized her. Kavashtanhi Le'ine Mine. So it's a very moving Gemara, especially if you understand it. It can be an incredible metaphor for Klal Yisrael as well. Mm-hmm. That what happened, so the mother lifted her eyes. So the mother tried to avoid eye contact with the child, so to pretend the child didn't recognize her. So Amar Leh, so Rav Dimi said, Nataf Einech, lower your eyes, look at your child, Kum Dari Berich, lift up your child. As I say, right? It sounds like sometimes the way we feel with our Kaddish Baruch Hu, that sometimes, again, we know we're past from lap to lap to lap. Finally, we come, we find the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We recognize him. Sometimes we feel, unfortunately, like he's looking away, even though it's not really true. Sometimes that's how we feel. Say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, look at us. So here the child recognized the mother. The mother didn't want to nurse. Most say, remember, sometimes in these kind of situations, women wanted very much to get remarried. And the notion of having to be literally tethered to a child nursing could have discouraged a potential suitor. But nevertheless, again, the child recognized the mother. Rav Dimi said, take care of your son. Suma mina yada. Where does a child, if a child is blind, so how does a child recognize its mother? Well, so this is amazing. Amar Rav Ashi, berecha ubetama. A child recognizes its mother's scent, and it recognizes the taste of its mother's milk. Well, so this is amazing, because the truth is, we know these things to be scientifically true today already. Interestingly enough, they say that the sense of smell, what is it called, olfactory? Right. That interestingly enough, they're saying science is already developing in utero, which is quite amazing. So a child already recognizes its mother's scent early on. Tan Rabbanan, Yonek Tinok Vaholich Ad Esen Varba Chodesh. Suppose another Gemara says, how long does a child nurse for? So a child can nurse for up to 24 months. Mikan Ve'elech Kionek Sheketz. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. From here and on, it's like eating an abominable thing. Allah Zubal said that the idea is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef says, Rabbi Eliezer says, child should nurse for up to 24 months. After 24 months, the child is too old already to nurse. Rabbi Yeshua says, Afilu arba v'chamishanim. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, he could even nurse until 4 or 5 years old. It's a bit extreme, but you understand the point that he's making. So we'll say, so Rabbi Yeshua says, look, as long as the child nurses, it's not a problem. Pirish, la'achar esim va'arba chodesh v'chazar. What happens if after 24 months the child stops nursing? And then we'll discuss how long this stoppage is for. And then continues to nurse. Kiyonek sheketz. It's once again like ingesting an abominable thing. The idea is that once the child stopped, we'll say the idea over here obviously is that human milk, interestingly enough, is of course permitted to a nursing child. But at a certain point in the time when the child no longer needs to nurse, so it's not appropriate for the child to ingest that milk. So if the child stopped after 24 months, and then, however long, we'll discuss how long, and then began to nurse again, that's as if a child is ingesting something that is abominable, that is not good. Amarmar, mikan, sorry, uminhi, smariz zikasha, yochol yehei chalav mahalchi shtayim tomei. Well, this is very interesting. I might have thought that the milk of those who walk on 2 feet should be tamir. Rabbi says it's actually quite interesting that the Gemara refers to human beings as mahalche shtayim. Now again, remember, the Gemara refers to animals as mahalche arba, walk on 4 feet. So it's interesting, you don't usually find whenever Chazal speak about people are always spoken about, human beings are always spoken about in a different context. So nevertheless, it's interesting. So I might have thought that the milk of those who walk on 2 feet, i.e. a human being, I might have thought that the milk is tummy. Now, I will say tummy in this context doesn't mean tummy like ritually impure, rather means non-kosher. Rashi says over here, Chalav mahalchi shtayim, chalav shal isha, ha-me'alechas b'shtei ragleim, the milk of a woman who walks on 2 feet, tummy, aser. I would have thought that it's aser. Why? Vidinu, because I couldn't make the following kal v'chomer. Uma behema shakalta b'maga, oh, hechmarta b'chalba. I will say, when it comes to a non-kosher animal, that what? That Lamaise, if you touch a non-kosher animal while it's alive, that animal does not transmit any level of tumah towards you. Animal doesn't make you tameh. However, again, hechmarta bechalba, but you can't drink the milk of a non-kosher animal. So I would have thought, Adam, shechmarta b'maga'o. So if you have a person where you are machmir to touch a person, what does that mean? Let's say a woman is a nida, and a man goes out and touches her. Technically speaking, that conveys tumah. Again, I will say this is not Lamaisa for us today because we don't have the laws of Tum and Tara. But Lamaisa, again, if you touch a Nida, so a person becomes Tameh, so if you're a human being, by just simple touch, you can become Tameh, Eino Din Shatachmir Bechabo. And I think it would go without saying that what? That its milk should be unkosher, that the milk of a human being should be unkosher. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Es Hagamal Ki Ma'ala Geirahu. Hu Tameh, Ve'in Chalav Mahalchi Ishtayim Tameh. So let's say, well, the Pasuk says that the camel, ki ma'ala geirahu, literally it chews its cud, but it does not have split hooves, tameh hu lachem. It is tameh. So the Gemara understands that phrase, tameh hu, is an exclusionary phrase. It is tameh, and what? Other things are not. What is it coming to exclude? Hu tameh, ve'in chalav mahalchi shtayim tameh. The milk that comes from a camel, ultimately will be tamei, but the milk that comes from a human being will not be tamei. Rabbi Sagan, remember, tamei in this context means not kosher. So the Gemara is ela tar. So therefore, again, we've proven that the milk of a human being is tar. So now I would have thought, fine, maybe the milk of a human being is going to go ahead and be tahar, is going to be kosher. Why? Because again, the prohibition on milk is not a prohibition that goes across the board. In other words, that for example, when it comes to kosher animals, so if you have a kosher animal, the milk of a kosher animal is kosher as well. But I would have thought, again, when it comes to dam, when it comes to blood, remember, again, the prohibition of blood, Rabosai, applies to everything, applies to kosher and non-kosher animals as well. And therefore, I would have thought that the blood of a human being is aser as well. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, who? Therefore, again, the same exclusionary phrase, who? Who tameh ve'ein dam mahachi shtayim tameh elatar. Therefore, comes to teach us that it's only the blood of animals that is tameh, but the blood of people is not. Rabosai, now, what does this mean? Now, what does this mean? V'amar Rav Sheshes, afilu mitzvahs prisha einbo. Rav Sheshes says it's actually very interesting that even midrabanan, there is no inyan of not consuming human milk. Meaning, Rav say, if somebody was looking for a new chumrah, Pesach is certainly the season, and someone is looking for a new chumrah to say, you know what? So the truth is, I'm not going to nurse my child because I want to be machmir that human milk is not kosher. So also, I said, the Gemara says over here, there's no such chumrah like that. Right? There's no such chumrah like that, even the Dirabanan. So the Gemara says, afilu mitzas prisha, einbo, lo kasha, hadiparish, hadaloparish. So we'll say, look at what Rashi says, hadiparish, hadiktani mutter, kishapirish midadi ha'isha likli. So the question now, of course, is the following. Here's the problem. So we just got finished saying that what? That lamaisa, human milk is absolutely kosher. But yet, what did the Braisa say before? That if the child continues to nurse after 24 months, or if the child stops to nurse and then continues to nurse, it's kionic sherex, like you're ingesting something that is abominable, that is not kosher. So what's the pshat? We just got finished saying that the milk is fine. So what's happening? So Rashi says over here, it depends. Hadiparish, hadik tani mutter, kishapirish midadi ha'isha the kli, vayonik minadad kionik sherex midrabban. So we'll say, oh, so when at some point in time does it become inappropriate? That's when the child is literally nursing directly from the mother. So after a certain point in time, when the child becomes old enough to nurse directly from the mother, that's not appropriate. That's kionik min hasheretz. But if the mother expresses the milk into a utensil, into a cup, and the child drinks that, that's fine, whatever age the child is. However, the Gemara says, v'chilufa bedam. But the exact opposite is true when it comes to blood. What does that mean? Kidisanya, as we learned, dam sha'al gabe kikar, if you have blood that was on top of a loaf, and I was saying, this is actually very interesting. This is, let's say I bit into a loaf of bread, and what happens? And there's blood on top of the loaf. So you have to understand something. You know, we live in a very disposable society, that if I find blood on a piece of bread, what am I doing? I'm throwing it out, right? So remember, that's because we live in an exceptionally affluent society, meaning even those of us who are not necessarily affluent are still, Baruch Hashem, get to enjoy things that are part of an affluent society. So therefore, again, the Maisa, if somebody, but the Gemara is not like that, in other words, that person finds blood on top of the loaf of bread, so what do? Goruro, you scrape it off, va'ochlo, and you go out and you eat it, you eat the bread. So the idea over here is Rashi says, go to roll the dam, you scrape off the bread and you eat it. Now the logic, we'll see what the logic is in just a moment. Shabbat is Shinai, but what happens if I say if my gums are bleeding? My gums are bleeding, there's blood in my mouth. So what could I do? Motzitzo, I could suck the blood, meaning I don't have to spit out the blood. I could suck it. I don't know if suck it is the right word, but you understand, like I could swallow it. I could swallow it. Ve'eino choshesh, and there's nothing to be worried about. So what do you see from here? You see from here that lamaisa, again, that lamaisa, when it comes to blood, the only time that human blood is problematic is when it's been porish, when it's been separate from the body. Also, that's why if a person gets a cut, a person is permitted to go ahead and like suck on their finger to go ahead and stop the bleeding. But let's say, again, if my blood is outside of my body on something, at that point in time, it becomes prohibited from consumption. So if I take a bite of something and there's blood on the food, I can't eat that. I have to scrape that away, and then I can eat the rest of the item. But if there's blood on my body, that is permitted for me to go ahead and swallow.
Do you want the blood on a nap? When you take a bite of an apple, and there's no blood.
Right, so that you can't do. So that you can't eat. Because once, again, you don't have to get rid of the apple. You just have to cut away that piece of the, that piece where the blood is. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yoshua, So let's say, Samar said that even if the child is 4 or 5 years old, that the child can still continue to nurse. Ibut Rabbi Yoshua said, even if the child is holding literally a peckle on its back, which of us seems to be like, so meaning even if the kid is mamish, like schlepping the Pesach dishes upstairs and downstairs, he's that old, he can still go ahead and nurse. To which the Gemara says, Idi v'idi chad shiurahu. It's one shear, meaning when the Gemara says 4 or 5 years old, that's already a child who's old enough to be able to carry things on his back. Am Rabbi Yosef, halacha Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Yosef said that halacha is Rabbi Yoshua, that what? That halacha lemaisa, the child could go ahead and nurse to whatever age they want. So the idea over here is, the only cutoff for nursing, it appears to be according to the halacha, is that at a certain point, once the child stops, the child is not permitted to go ahead and resume. Tanya. Rabbi Marino said, Goneach, I'm going to say a prayer. Now, Goneach Rashi says, Hamayalel. Somebody's groaning, Mikaev Libo, from literally heart pain. I'm going to say, now, this is not like an emotional state of heartbreak. Right? This is somebody literally is suffering chest pains. So what they used to do for chest pains is they felt that goat milk was, it's also covered by insurance, which is good. Right? So that goat milk was the remedy for heart pain, for chest pain. So let's say a person is having chest pain on Shabbos. So what could he do? He could go ahead and yonik chalav b'Shabbos. He could go ahead and literally, he could drink right from the udder of the goat on Shabbos. Now, listen, I understand there is a prohibition to milk an animal on Shabbos. It's the malacha of dash, the malacha of threshing. Specifically, it's the tolda of mefarik. You cannot go ahead and take milk from the udder there. So what can you do? So the chol, however, could go ahead and drink right from the udder. Why Rabbi Yosef? Because that is a shinui. That is obviously a deviation of the norm. Most people are not drinking directly from udders. So therefore, the Gemara says, "My taima yonik mefarik la'achriyat." Because again, the idea over here is that drinking directly from the udder is like mefarik, is this tolda of dash, this tolda of threshing, but it's done in an unusual way. And therefore, makom tzar lagozer rabban. Rabbi Yosef, whenever you have a shinui, so remember, just if you do something with a shinui, it is still aser midirabanan. It is still rabbinically prohibited, but in a case of a chol, in the case of a person who's ill, so we allow one to go ahead and do it. Rabbi Yosef said, halacha Rabbi Marinos, that the halacha follows Rabbi Marinos. Okay, that literally a chol could go ahead and drink directly from the udder on Shabbos. Tanya, Nachum Ishgalya said, tzinor she'alu bo kashkashin, if you have a tzinor, it's like a gutter on the house. Ultimately, that there are weeds growing in. And the problem is, essentially, your gutters are stopped up, and what's happening? The water is backing up and leaking into the house. So what could I do? So the problem is, to go in and clear out the gutters is an issue of tikkun, is an issue of fixing. So it could be a number of different things. It could go ahead, it could be, Rashi says over here, kashkashim, kashim va'asavim, shesosmin va'akines kilucho, meimav yotzim mishpatim dagdofen, lebayis. So he says over here that lemaisa, the problem with going in is it could be bonnet, could be like building. So therefore, what can you do? You could go up to the top of the roof, and you could, remember I'll say in times of the Gemara, rooftops are usually flat. So you go up to the top of the roof, and you step in the gutter, and you push down the dirt, so you compact it in order to allow the water to flow out. Now, I will say, so that, again, it's a shinui. That's not how you would normally go ahead. You shouldn't clear out your gutters like that. Right? So, the mice, again, that's a shinui. That's a deviation from the norm. So, because, again, so therefore, and you're doing it in private on Shabbos, v'ena choshesh, my time, what's the reason? Metakin kila achar yadu, because this is an act of fixing with the shinui, and even though it's still normally asur midrabanan, u'bemakom pseido, lo gazu barabanan. The rabbis allowed you to do certain things in situations where if you don't take action, there will be significant financial loss. Amar Rav Yosef said, halacha kinachum ish galya, that the halacha follows nachum ish galya. Fine. Perish la'achar esen ba'arba chodesh v'chazer kionik sheket. So remember again, the Brisa said before that if the child stops nursing after 24 months and then continues nursing afterwards, it's kionik sheket. It's as if the child is eating an abominable thing. V'kama. So we'll say, so the question is, how long does the child have to stop for in order that the child is no longer permitted to nurse? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, Amar Shmuel, Shloshi Yamim, 3 days. Igada Amri, there are others who say, Tani Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, Kamei de Shmuel, Shloshi Yamim, 3 days. Tani Rabbanon, Mei Nekes, Shemes, Baila Besoch, Esrim Ba'ar B'chodesh, was another interesting case. Let's say you have a nursing mother whose husband died in the midst of the 24 months. I will say, so according to Chazal, 24 months was the normal time to nurse. That was the normal amount of time for a mother to nurse a child. So let's say a husband died in the midst of those 24 months. So what's that halacha? So this halacha has are zulotis aris velotina. Say, this woman cannot have erusin or nisun, amud beis. Ad esrim va'arba chodesh Rabbi Meir. So we'll say Rabbi Meir said she may not get married, either erusin and certainly nisun until after 24 months. Now we'll say, now what's the logic there? Rashi says, Ad esrim va'arba chodesh shematis aber, because we're nervous that if she gets remarried, she's going to get pregnant. V'titztarech ligmol aspinan. Now we'll say if she gets pregnant, remember again, it's probably going to be too much for her to nurse. Plus, her milk supply will diminish. Ubal ze eno aviv sheikna lo beitim echal. And I will say, now the Gemara felt that if a child needed to stop nursing, that's fine, but you have to supplement the child's diet with eggs and milk. The problem, of course, is that this new husband is not this child's father, and therefore, lemaisa, again, we're nervous that the father is not going to, this new husband is not going to take care. It's not going to take care of the child. So therefore, Rabbi Meir said that if a woman is nursing within 24 months, she may not get remarried. She has to wait to get remarried until after the 2 years. Rabbi Huda says, no, that it's mutter. Rabbi Huda Matir, Bishmona Asar Chodesh. Rabbi Huda allows her to get remarried already after 18 months. So after 18 months, she's permitted to go in and get remarried. Rashi says, Dayo Latino Klinik Bakach. So it's because Rabbi Huda felt that although normally a mother will nurse for 2 years, but Lamaisa, once the child hits the 18-month mark, the child is good. Child is stable, child is healthy. Fine. Amar Rabbi Nasan bar Yosef, Hein Hein, Divrei Beis Shammai, Hein Hein, Divrei Beis Hillel. So we'll say, Rabbi Nasan bar Yosef says that the same achlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, the same achlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How so? She Beis Shammai Omrim Esin Ba'arba Chodesh. Beis Shammai said that a mother can't get remarried for 24 months. She needs to be 24 months in order to be able to nurse her child. Beis Hillel omrim, Beis Hillel say, Shmona Asar Chodesh, 18 months. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Ani Achria. The truth is, I think I can introduce a new idea. The different ha'omer esrim va'arba chodesh, muteris linase be'esrim ve'echad chodesh. So also listen to this. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, according to the Mandarim, who says that you have to wait 24 months, you really can get married after 21 months. Why, Rabbi, say, what's the logic behind that? The logic behind that is because if a woman, even if a woman becomes pregnant, her milk supply does not diminish until 3 months into the pregnancy. So already if she gets married after her newborn is 21 months old, that means even if she becomes pregnant immediately upon getting married, her milk supply will not be affected until the child is already 24 months, which already is after the window that the child needs to nurse. And according to Mandarim, who says that a woman could get married after 18 months, which are also is Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel, then you could even get married when? After 15 months. Why? Because milk does not go bad, which milk supply does not go bad until 3 months into her pregnancy. Fine. Amr Ula said, Halocha ki Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha follows Rabbi Huda, that halacha lemaisa, you can get married after 18 months. V'amar mar ukva, li hiti Rabbi Chanina, lo seis la'achar chamisha asar chodesh. And mar ukva said that Rabbi Chanina allowed me to marry a nursing mother when her baby was only 15 months old. Which Rabbi says, so now you have testimony saying, mar ukva saying that Rabbi Chanina allowed me essentially to follow the psak of Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, according to Beis Hillel, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that essentially you have to wait 18 months, but you really could get married after 15 months because it takes 3 months for the milk supply to go bad. But let's listen to this. So let's say Abaye had a sharecropper. And the sharecropper came to Abaye. Amarle, Mahu li aris bechamisha asar chodesh. So apparently the sharecropper wanted to marry a woman whose husband had either died or divorced, but she was unmarried right now, and she had a 15-month-old child who she was nursing. So the sharecropper wanted to know, am I permitted to marry this woman? So Amarle Abaye said to him, yes, and I'll tell you why. Chadad Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda. Number one, when you have a machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda held 8 months. 18 months. Va'od beishan beisah halacha kabeisilo. So we'll say, so firstly, you have two, right? You have Rabbi Yehuda. Whenever it's machlokes, you Rabbi Yehuda, you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And whenever machlokes beishan beisilo, you hold like beisilo. Both Rabbi Yehuda and beisilo say what? 15 months. I'm sorry, 18 months. Furthermore, va'amar ula halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Va'amar mar ukva. Furthermore, again, mar ukva said. And furthermore, we have testimony from our Ukva who said that what Rabbi Yosai, that Rabbi Hanina allowed me to marry a woman after 15 months. Because Rabbi Yosai, I remember taking into account that even if we really pass in 18, it takes 3 months for the milk to go bad. So if I marry her at 15, then by definition, even if she becomes pregnant immediately, the child will not be adversely affected. Kol Shekain. So Abaye said to the sharecropper, certainly you can marry this woman at 15 months as well. Fine. Ki asal kamei Rav Yosef. So listen to this. So Abaye was discussing this with Rav Yosef. So his Rebbe. Rav Yosef said, Amarli Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayhu. Rav Yosef said, but 1 second. Rav and Shmuel both said that what? Tzricha lahamtin esim va'aba chodesh. A nursing woman, must wait 24 months prior to getting remarried. Chutz miyom shenolad bo, and that doesn't include the day a child was born. The chutz miyom shenis arsebo doesn't include the day in which they become betrothed. Rabbi says, in other words, Rabbi Yosef, Abaye's Rebbe says, that's not how we paskin. Rabbi says, we paskin that the 24-month period is an objective standard period. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. If you have a young child, if you're a nursing mother, even if you're not nursing, if you have a young child, 24 months is the period in which she cannot get remarried. So what happens? So Abaye realizes that what happened, he made a mistake in his psak halacha. He told the sharecropper he can get married after 15 months, and his Rebbe said, you forgot about the ruling of Rav and Shmuel. So what happened? Rohat basrei tlasa parsi. Abaye ran after the sharecropper for 3 parsos. Because what's he gave him an erroneous ruling, you have to track him down.
His analysis was sound.
I'm sorry? His analysis was very sound, but his psak was wrong.
Okay, why? Why is the psak wrong?
Because he forgot about the psak of Rav and Shmuel. Because what Rav Yosef was saying is there's another halacha. Right? This all was correct. But you forgot that there's another psak halacha of Rav Shmuel, which was the final word on this discussion, which was the 24-month period is an objective time period that we wait. So Amrele parsa b'chala. Let's say it wasn't 3 parsas, but rather he ran 1 parsa in the sand. So you know, running in the sand is very difficult. The point is, he ran after the guy for a very long time, below adkare, but he never caught up with him. He never caught up with him. Amr Abaye, so I listened to this. Abaye, I'm sorry?
The guy was very excited.
The guy was very excited, right? He's ready at the shmorg. So what happens? So Amr Abaye, so listen to this. So Abaye said, you know, I learned a very important lesson. Hi, Milsa the Amr Abanan. This is what the rabbis meant when they said, Afidu biyasa bekuscha lo lishrei inish b'makom rabbe. They will say, a person should not paskin on even the simplest of shilas in the presence of his rabbi. Now, biyasa bekuscha literally means people, this was the example of like a klutz kasha, right? That are you permitted to eat an egg with kusach? Kusach, remember, was a popular Babylonian dip made out of moldy bread and sour milk. I guess it's an acquired taste, whatever it is. Right? And the idea over here is, so it's milchix, obviously, it's dairy. So people would ask a shayla, are you permitted to dip an egg in kusach? So what motivates the shayla is that the egg comes from the chicken, so maybe the egg is fleishig, and therefore you can't go ahead and dip it in the kusach. Of course, the answer to that is obvious. You could dip the egg in kusach, but Chazal say a person should not even paskin on a simple shayla, in the presence of their Rebbe. The Gemara says, why? Lo mishum demechze ka'apikursa. It's not because ultimately, again, it looks like chutzpah. If you paskin halacha in front of your Rebbe, but rather, again, because if you have a Rebbe present and you don't avail yourself of his knowledge, you will not have the right siyata d'shmaya in paskining and deciding the right halacha. So let's say, so this is actually quite amazing. So Abaye says, you know what? My Rebbe was right here. Rav Yosef was right here. Even though I thought I knew the halacha, I should have asked. Lememra, daha ana haba, lo mistaya milsa. Lememra, daha ana haba gamirna le lahadravu shmuel afilu hachi lo mistaya le milsa. Lememra, because Abaye said, I have to tell you, I learned that halacha of Rav and Shmuel. I learned it. It's not the pshat. Let's say, see, we read this story, we say, oh, maybe Rav Yosef, maybe Abaye never knew this. No, he says, I knew it. I learned it. Rav Yosef from Arabi taught me this. But for some reason, again, b'shas ma'as at the time of Psak Halacha, I just didn't remember it, and I ended up giving the erroneous ruling. So the Gemara goes like, "Tana banan, nasla b'nadim eni kasa l'meinekes o gamaltu ome." So we'll listen to this case. Let's say a mother went ahead and gave her child over to a meinekes, to a nurse, or o gamalto, or she weaned him, or the child died. So we'll say in all of these cases, this is during the 24 months, in all of these cases, she's not going ahead and nursing. That's the point over here. She's not nursing this child. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Muteres li nase miyad. She's permitted to get married immediately because obviously there is no child, right? There is no baby that's currently being nursed. Rapapa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua Savar Lame Evet Uvda Kiamas Nisa. So Rapapa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua wanted to paskin like this learning that we just taught. So Amar Luahi Safta, listen to this. So an old woman, a Safta, a Babi, told them, Bididi Hava Uvda. I had this situation happen to me. Meaning I was whatever happened, her husband died, divorced, whatever the mitzvah was. V'asali Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman prohibited me from getting remarried within 24 months. Se'ini, is that so? V'ha Rav Nachman sharaluhu lebe'resh kalusa. But yet again, Rav Nachman allowed the women of the Resh Kalusa to go ahead and get married, or remarried, I should say, even within their 24 months. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi says over here, Lebe Resh Kalusa, Amanos, they were widows, Shahayu Bahen Manikos, they were widows who were nursing, V'nasnu B'neim Lemenika, V'tium Linas. This is actually very interesting. So Rav Nachman allowed the widows of the house of the Resh Kalusa, once they handed off their children to wet nurses, to go ahead and get remarried. To which the Gemara says, no, Shani Be Resh Kalusa, the house of the Resh Kalusa is different. Why? The Lo Hadibus. The concern is like this, that even if a mother hires a wet nurse, what's going to happen? The wet nurse could easily go ahead and cancel and decide that she's no longer going to perform her services. But if you are hired by the members of the Resh Kalusa's household, you are not backing out of any contract. Therefore, again, they were assured that ultimately the child would be sustained. Amur Papa, Vaasan lo tizburu miha. Do you not learn it from here? Desanya harish ha'isirudufa leilich lebeisaviha. But say, listen to this. If a woman was always in her father's home, oshahaya lakans lebeisbaila, or there was always fighting in her marital home, say, these are cases you're going to see in just a moment where she's not living with her husband. It's clear she's living at her father's home. She's always fighting with her husband, and therefore, again, the assumption is there's no intimacy between them. Oshahaya baila chavashavesa. Certainly, her husband was incarcerated. Oshahaya halach baila medina sayam, or her husband went overseas. Oshahaya baila zakin ochola, or her husband was old or sick. Oshahaisa akara uzakina islandess, or she was old. She was old. She was an islandess, or she was barren. Ukitano, or she was a minor. Havahama palace achramisas baila, or a woman who miscarried after the death of her husband. Vishaina ruyulelate, or she can't have children. All of these cases, Rabosai, kulon tzrichos lahamtin shlosha chadashin remeir. What's the remeir passing is all of these women must wait 3 months after the death of her husband. Rabosai says, this is a concept of avchana. So avchana says that when a woman ends a relationship, she must wait 3 months before remarrying in order to determine if she's pregnant from the previous marriage. I will say, now what's the chapter? Rabbi Meir says, this din of havchana applies even if we know for sure that she's not pregnant. So again, essentially, that when Chazal said you have to wait 3 months, that became a blanket decree. Even if your circumstances are such that we know for sure that you are not pregnant, you still have to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi matir le'aris v'linase miyad. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, allows her to go ahead and get married immediately. And Rav Nachman said, "Meshmuel, the halacha follows Rabbi Meir with his gzeros." With his gzeros. So both say, so again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the same way that the 3 month waiting period is an objective standard of time, an objective framework of time that is in place independent of your personal circumstances. So we can make the same argument that the 2 years for a nursing mother is the same objective time period as well, independent of your personal circumstances. Amrile lavadaitin. So he said, if you look at Rashi, he says over here, Rashi, I'm sorry, not yet. So, Amrile, lavadaitin, the hilchasa. And what's that, lacha? Mace, mutter, Gamalto Aser. Boss says Halacha Lamaaseh says if the child died, so Chas V'Shalom, again, child died, so there's no longer any issue of nursing, then the woman is permitted to get remarried during the 24 months. But if the child is alive, even if she's no longer nursing, or even if she's made other arrangements with a wet nurse, Lamaaseh, again, she is not permitted to get remarried during those 24 months. Mar Bar Avashi Amar, Afilu Meis Nami Aser. Mar Bar Avashi says no, even if the child died, she still can't go ahead and get remarried. Why? Dilma katla le va'azla uminsaba. Because we're concerned that what's going to happen? She's going to chas v'shalom kill the child in order to be able to get remarried. Maybe she's going to be so desperate to get remarried that chas v'shalom is going to take the life of her child. So the Gemara says, Hava uvda, lest you think this is crazy, this happened. This happened, v'chanka say, a mother Nebach strangled her child in order to be able to go and get remarried. To which the Gemara says, no, v'lohi, you can't bring a raya from that case. Ha'hi shota havi, we know that case. She Nebach, she was a sick woman, she was crazy. D'lo avdi nashi d'chankan benayu. You know, again, there are certain things we have to be choshesh for, and other things you don't have to be choshesh for. You don't have to worry, chas v'shalom, about a mother, God forbid, taking the life of her child in order to get remarried. That's not something we normally have to be choshesh for. Therefore, lemaisa, again, the way the Gemara ends up asking is, if the child, chas v'shalom, dies within 24 months, the mother is permitted to get remarried. But if the child is no longer nursing, if the mother made other arrangements, the mother cannot get remarried within those 24 months. Tan Rabbanan, Hare shenasnu la ben lahanik, if a woman is working as a wet nurse, so what happens? So if a woman is working as a wet nurse, so they gave her a child to nurse, she cannot simultaneously nurse her own child or her friend's child. Meaning if you're hired to be a wet nurse, a woman has to devote her milk supply to that child whom she is nursing. She can't even nurse her own that child along with that child. She can't nurse her child at the same time as that child and not the child of her friend. Furthermore, piska kima, ochales harbe. If, let's say again, so the way apparently if you hired a wet nurse, there were two things you would normally do. You would pay her a certain wage and you would also provide her with food in order to give her a healthy diet. So even if her employer only gave her a little bit of food, she has to eat a lot. Furthermore, again, the wet nurse may not eat things that are bad for the milk. So the Gemara says, Hashta b'na amrit lo ben chaverta mi boyi. So I say, now the Gemara goes back. Now that you're telling me that she can't nurse her own son, together while she's nursing the child who she's hired to nurse, do you have to tell me that she can't nurse the friend of her child? It goes without saying. What would I have thought? B'nahu dechayis iluya, mam tzilei tfei. I might have thought that the reason she can't nurse her own child when she's hired to nurse another child is because she obviously has specific rachmanas on her child. She'll give that child more milk, and there won't be enough milk left for the other child. Aval ben chaverta, but when it comes to the child of her friend, ilav da havile mosar lo havi mamtzile. If she didn't have enough extra, she wouldn't nurse that child. It's not her own. Kamash bolano. Kamash rabo said that when she's hired to nurse a child, she may not go ahead and deplete her milk supply by simultaneously nursing her own child or her friend's child. Pasak kima ocheles harbe. Both sides in the case of where her employer is only giving her a little bit of food, she still has to eat a lot more food. So mehecha, whose pocket does that? Who pays for that extra food? It comes from her own money. Now, also, now the logic behind that is that the assumption is that even though she's only getting a little bit of food, they must be paying her a good amount of money. So she must be happy with the wage that she's getting, even though what? Even though the food that she's getting is less than perhaps what she needs to nurse in a healthy fashion. So she is obligated to supplement the food from her own pocket. You can't go ahead and eat things that are bad for nursing. What are these things? You can't eat hops or chazis is like grain sproutings, dogim, ketanim, small fish, and dirt. So we'll say, interesting, obviously, okay, the dirt is a hard one to save from, but the idea over here is they used to eat dirt apparently for certain medicinal purposes. So she can't eat it because it's negative for nursing. Amrav Sheshes, Mishalah, Lo Sochal Imo Dvarim Haraim. She can't go ahead and eat things that are not good, that are not good for her. So the Gemara says, what are some examples of this? Afilu kra v'chavusha. So Abaye says, even types of gourds and melons, Rashi says, okay, Rashi gives the laws of Rapapa Amar, Afilu Krava Kufra, Ravashi Amar Afilu Kamcha, Vaharsana, Minayhu, Paski Chaba, Minay Achri Chaba. So, the Gemara goes through this whole list of foods. All of these are considered to be detrimental, but some of them, again, Minayhu Paski Chaba, some of these foods cause her food supply to go ahead, her milk supply to stop altogether, and Minayhu Achri Chaba. Others go ahead and just simply turn the milk putrid. All right, we'll stop over here. And Meretz Hashem, the schedule for Yontiv is that we're going to be learning in the afternoons. So just check the shul calendar for the schedule. On Chol HaMoed, the schedule is the daf will be after davening. And Meretz Hashem, because davening is at 6:30, so Meretz Hashem will be doing the daf immediately following davening on Chol HaMoed. 7:30. Shikoyach, Chag Kasher, V'Sameach to everyone.